All righty. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. Happy Tuesday. We're so excited to be back with you guys. We have missed the heck out of our Chiefs this week, that's for sure. We were just talking about how it feels like it's been forever already since we've seen them, so we can't wait to get back into it. I am your host, Lexi.
I'm Christy.
I'm Jody. Hey, y'all. All right. So, yeah, it's been forever. Football, but we're in the playoffs finally. Can't be mad that we didn't get to talk at all about
Chiefs. It's definitely a blessing in disguise, right?
Right.
Like, we missed them.
But it is playoff football, and there were a lot of good games this weekend. I mean, it's finally down to the crunch. It's the best of the best playing football right now.
It was definitely a super wild card weekend.
Yeah.
It
really was. What in the world? So, yeah, let's get into it. What were you guys' games of the week that you thought were spicy?
Well, I'm going to go over the Bills-Dolphins game. I mean, it was one of the big comeback games. Didn't end in the comeback that it could have potentially ended in, but Bills were up 17-0. And I mean, the Bills were playing Casey Kidd, Skylar Thompson. So I, you know, considering everything he had up against him, I really thought Skylar did about as good as he could have done. He threw some dimes during that game too, which his receivers continuously dropped. So that was kind of frustrating to see. Like, I thought he was giving it his all, and you want the kid to succeed, and dropped passes after dropped pass. So it was their third matchup this year, division game. We all know division games are crazy. So the big story of this game was really Josh Allen having three turnovers in the game, which is becoming a trend, you guys. He had two interceptions and a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. So Josh Allen, yes, he is a fantastic quarterback and he has a fantastic talent, but he is becoming Mr. Dependable when it comes to turning the ball over, especially in key situations. So not so great for Bills fans, I'm sure. But for the rest of us, great. I will say the Dolphins did sack Josh Allen 7 times, which is not something that is
easy to do.
Because he uses his legs to get out of sticky situations really well. So for them to have sacked him 7 times is a huge feat. So another thing for this game, just real quick, was I really feel like Miami probably would have come away with that game if they had some clock management. Because, good Lord, the number of delay of games that they had, the number of late substitutions that they had, the 2-minute drive at the end of the game, like the last part of the game where they're trying to come back and win. And they like stood in a huddle twice for like 20 or 30 seconds and wasted so much time when they didn't have timeouts. Yeah. And
it was actually really poor clock management on like both Sean McDermott.
That too.
Like, yeah.
I actually feel like that was the theme of the weekend.
It really was.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just, I felt, and the one last thing about Miami that I'll say is I felt like they were putting too much on Skylar. I thought that they kept trying to throw these like 15 plus yard plays down the field. And I thought they could have maybe done some dinking and dunking a little bit more, like, not, no offense to Alex Smith, but like how the Chiefs are with Alex Smith, like you take and what we want Mahomes to do a little bit more often when he forces some things is take what the defense gives you. And I feel like they were constantly just trying to push the ball down the field, take big chunks instead of taking what was there. And I think that was a big determining factor of why they lost that game.
And I think it has to be because they have Tyreek too, right? Like
And that's what we did with Tyreek. Yeah. Like you want to get him the ball, but sometimes you force it and bad things
happen. I'll never understand the amount of drop balls that they had in that game, though, because even though Skyler is the third string, and even though it felt like he was forcing the ball down the field, he was on target for the most part.
He was. So, I mean, he really was.
It's the receiver's fault. Like, and I just feel like, well, I don't want to say Tyreek Hill knows better, because he had a thing with drop balls when he was with us.
They're catching with their chest. They're not catching with their hands.
Absolutely.
It's like they're waiting for the ball to come into their chest, and then they're trying to
Right.
Like, that's just not how you catch football.
No, it's not.
Like,
or how you play defense for that.
Right.
But yeah. No, anyway. And Tyreek Hill has played in cold weather. So that's not an excuse for him either. So.
And it's not like they haven't played in cold weather this season. So like them wanting to use, like, oh, the ball was cold. I'm like, well, was it as cold as it was degrees? No.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what the deal was, but I agree with you. It was
just something was off, but something was off that entire game for both teams. Like,
yeah. My friend asked me, he was like, so, cause I called the Jags game. I'm real proud of that. But he was like, so what are your thoughts on the Bills game? I'm like, I don't know. I said, I'm not saying the Bills are losing. I just have a weird feeling about how that game's going to go. And it was definitely a weird game.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was a weird game. Like, I don't know what, but the vibes were just off. Like, the vibes were off.
Yeah, it was weird.
It lasted for like 4 hours on top of that.
It was so long. I was like, this game is still on.
Like, we were wanting to watch the Vikings Giants game.
We had to push that game back 20 minutes because I don't know.
Yeah, it was just weird, but
ultimately
the Bills won, right? So they
did 34-31.
That's how it goes, right? So any given Sunday or Saturday. So I'm going to discuss the Jags and Chargers game. And it was both of their first playoff games in a long time. Both with their promised princes, right?
with the hair.
Battle of the blondes, battle of the panty commercials. So it started off really, really, really in the Chargers' favor. I mean, Trevor Lawrence threw 3 picks in the first quarter. It was like every other play. I was like, I don't even want him to throw the ball anymore. Like, I was just like, I know this isn't him, but like, I was like, I don't even want him to throw the ball.
And it's not like they were on the Jags or the Chargers side of the field either. It's like they were backed up in their own, their own red zone. Yeah.
Throw after throw. It was just right to them.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck happened to him. I don't know if it was just a lapse of judgment. I don't know if it's play calling or a bit of both. But something was just really off for them in the first half. And then, you know, finally at the end of the first half, the Jags got a drive going and they made some really nice plays and ended up with a touchdown. But the Chargers were once up 27-0. Yeah. And that is the third biggest comeback in NFL playoffs we've ever had. Now, I will say it's second, sadly, to our Chiefs in 2020.
Yeah. Like, unfortunately, we're in there.
Of course, we're in there against the stupid Colts. That's just how it goes for us, right? Against that team. But
the Chargers raided for sure.
The Chargers did raider or chargered at this point. I mean, they don't have any good luck, it seems like. And, you know, they ended up firing Lombardi today, their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So they've and their linebackers coach as well. So they've made a lot of big.
I thought that was a weird firing
today. But I will say the Jags, I mean, talk about a heck of an adjustment at halftime. Like, props to them, props to Doug Peterson, props to Trevor Lawrence for not getting in his own head. Like, most quarterbacks, if you throw 4 picks in one quarter or one half,
Yeah, technically,
4 picks. I mean, that seems to be the trend of the weekend as well, because Dallas kicker missed 4 kicks, right? 4 extra points. Like, 4 is like the trend of the weekend. I don't know why.
My mom needed those kicks to move on in fantasy.
Oh, no.
Sorry, mom.
I've already lost all of my leagues. Whatever.
it was just crazy. It was a really fun game to watch, though. It kind of never felt like the Jags were out. Like, they're a fun team to watch. And as much as, you know, we'll get into that later with our game against them this weekend, but they're not a hateable team. Like, I don't mind the Jags.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Jags.
Guys.
I love Trevor Lawrence.
I like Dougie P. I like Trevor Lawrence. Like, yeah. And I mean, Evan Engram, he has like been a dog for them.
Yeah,
and these past few months ish, and then Zay Jones as well. Not to
mention a huge game.
Yeah,
Marvin Jones Jr., like ETN, their team just flows when they're in sync. They flow really well, and then their defense just had to do enough to kind of keep the Chargers off in the second half. And all the Chargers did in the second half was score a field goal. So.
Which is great. That's impressive for their defense.
That's really impressive. So props to the Jags. That's a historical comeback. Good job. I mean, you guys earned that. So, I mean, it was literally a tale of two halves, too, because I was looking at the stats for Trevor Lawrence. So, in his first half, he went 5 for 18 on completions.
Yikes.
1.9 yards average per pass. 4 interceptions. And a 0 passer rating. 0.
Incredible.
Wow. And then the second half, he goes 23 for 29, averages 8 yards per passing, scores 4 touchdowns, another 4, and then a passer rating of 142.6. I'm just like, that's crazy.
That is literally.
I believe in halftime adjustments.
Oh, 100%.
And they had WP. So it's like.
And I think the trend this weekend, too, that all of us saw was, like, no lead is safe, right? Like,
no lead is safe.
At all.
Well, so, and I've always thought that anyway because my quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. So I just remember, like, watching that game and being like, eh, I'm not giving up on this game. Because you never know what can happen.
Never.
At any given moment. With
But anyway, crazy game, and the Chargers win by one. Or, I mean, the Jaguars win by one.
Last second field goal.
Good times, right? Good times.
Good for them, man.
But good for them. I mean,
I definitely debated on which game I wanted to talk about because I really wanted to talk about Cowboys-Bucks. But I feel like Ravens-Bengals was more spicy. Like, of course, everybody wants
to. It was chippy.
It was so chippy. Good. Everybody wants Tom Brady to go to retirement. So thank you, Dak and team. Embarrassing Tom Brady, I will say that. But this Ravens-Bengals game was really good. And I think, you know, you got to love a division rivalry for sure. Like, it was so good. Few things to make the game spicy before the game even started. Lamar did not travel to Cincinnati. And I know Lamar has been out for a few weeks now, and the Ravens are like, it's okay. We're just saving him to be better. We're saving him for the playoffs. We want him to be 100% healthy. So when the playoffs get here, he can be Lamar Jackson, who is amazing, by the way. Well, he didn't even travel. And before I get into the game, just even after the game, Lamar Jackson tweeted out something like real, like break up with your girlfriend-ish, like break up with your boyfriend. Like, you better learn to take care of the people who are there for you, because if not, da-da-da. And I was just like, woo, spicy. I loved it. But
I bet Harbaugh has no idea about that either.
Man.
He didn't talk about his – he's like, I'm not aware of the tweet of him talking about his injury.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, no, the game was interesting. So, again, Huntley did start. The Ravens didn't really know that he was going to start the game either because he was also battling with the injury. So he did start the game. There's a ton of frustration right now around Greg Roman and their head coach, who are also awful. But I do want to say – Raekwon Smith is worth every single penny that he was given because he is great and he's impressive. I think the biggest thing of this game, which I'm not going to talk about all the details of the game, but the biggest thing was the goal line stand. They couldn't understand why they did a quarterback sneak from the two. But if you're going to do a quarterback sneak, why are we going up? Like, why are we jumping versus actually doing what a quarterback sneak is?
He was trying to do the, like, Mahomes dive thing, and it just
Or, like,
work.
Trevor Lawrence did his, but he was a 1 yard out, you know? Like,
it was, like, from the 2.5, which is why everybody has so much confusion. Yeah. And then it's, like, if you're going to do that, you have to, like, truly secure the ball. Like, you got to, like, truly, like – Everyone had tons of frustration. I just remember watching and being like, they did not just do that. They did not just do that.
And he was so convinced he broke the plane. And it's like, sir, you were a yard and a half out.
And I'm just like, why aren't you trusting your running backs here? Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we not trusting our running backs who've been running all over the Bengals the whole entire game? Like, what made us decide to call that play call? Which is why I see why they hate Greg Roman so much, because I would be equally as I was so frustrated, and this is not my team at all. But anyway, let's get into some stats. Sam Hubbard was a dog. He took that interception. And this man ran 98 yards back.
Yeah, he must have Colin Saunders speed, man. How fast that guy was going. No one could catch him.
He's quick out there.
He's quick.
He's a little quick out there. But
we're quick.
That was definitely the momentum changer of that game, because the Ravens were winning at that point, getting ready to go up another touchdown. So that is the momentum shift of the game. But I want to call out a few stats that I thought were interesting. They only held Mixon to 39 yards. Hayden Hurst, who was really good, he had 45. Chase, of course, he's always going to ball out. He went 9 for 84, one touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson, you pass chief. Like, I was watching this game and I was like, Jesus.
I'm so proud.
I was like, there's so many past Chiefs players on this team.
I know. It's so weird.
Marcus Peterson, DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins. I was like, this is like a baby Chiefs
team. That was weird, right?
Yeah. I was like, I get it. Like, hey, y'all, like, all for real. But DeMarcus Robinson only had two catches, but those two catches were very impactful.
They were
39 yards. Mark Andrews, which one of the best tight ends.
He's been fantastic.
He was so good. He went
almost caught Sam Hubbard on that return, too.
Yeah. Right. I was like, oh, my God. Okay, speed. Now, I don't know if Travis Kelce could do that.
I don't know. Isn't D-Rob supposed to be, like, really fast? Like, where was he? He was probably on the sideline.
He was probably sitting there, like, what the heck is happening right now?
I was like, he was part of the, you know, the – Legion of Zoom. Like, what? Where was he?
Right. What's going on? Right? But Mark Andrews went 5 for 73. Justin Houston had a big sack. There were a lot of sacks in this game on both sides of the ball, just to be specific. But of course, I'm going to call out an old Chief
player. Cincinnati lost more O linemen,
which is not good for them. So hopefully, you know, they can bounce back and recover. I know they're also playing on a short week going into this game against the Bills. So hopefully they can rest and recover and get healthy and come back, because for us as Chiefs fans, we always want to play whoever at 100%.
Right.
So full strength. Hate to see anybody hurt. So the ending of that game was 24-17 Bengals. I mean, can we say that we knew the Bengals were going to win though? Bengals has their script. I don't care what anybody says. So we knew how that game was going to come out, but it was, yes, very aggressive. It was very physical. I love seeing physical teams play. I think the Ravens are one of the most physical teams in the league. So it was really great to see how they played against the Bengals, but it was also great to see how they unlocked the Bengals. So it's like they showed a weakness in them, which I think a lot of teams in the playoffs are going to pay attention to and use that as a key going forward. So
agreed.
That's all I got for that. So, I mean, I guess we don't have a Chiefs recap because we were in a bye week.
We were just resting and relaxing.
Really quick, what's interesting to me about the Bengals against the Ravens is the past 2 weeks they have not done a ton in the second half.
It's true. So I actually have that in my notes for the prediction for this week. Yeah.
So if Bills and Chiefs just pay attention to that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, or, you know, tap into our podcast every Tuesday, 7 p.m.
I mean,
we got
give you all the tips and tricks, all the secrets.
Well, we did celebrate a bye week this past week. I think
a well earned bye week.
Well earned.
Earned.
Some of our
14 wins. Earned.
Earned.
Sorry.
Earned. Spell it, Chrissy.
As much stats as I have in my pocket right now.
Definitely well needed. We have some boys who just needed to rest and recover so they can go dominate this week coming up. We did see they had a little bit of team bonding too. So it looks like they were out playing games and doing their thing, which, you know, that's what our boys do. They love to build relationships with each other and keep that bond going strong. So we're going to go ahead and skip over Chiefs recap because we don't really have much to discuss. But I think it's important, right? I think it's important, though, we get into what the title of this episode is, The Promised Prince versus the MVP Round 2. If you guys didn't see that, look up at the top. But yeah, so we get the Jags again. We played them week 10. We're back this week. There's lots of things we can recap from the last time we played, which I would like to get into with you ladies. But then I want to see, what do we want to see differently this time going into this game? At Arrowhead on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Lexi said it's going to snow. I'm so disgusted.
Snow game guy.
I'm so disgusted. Have not.
I didn't see the snow in the forecast.
But... I just hope it goes away between now and Saturday because no.
It's changed to rain now, but it keeps going back and forth. So right now we're looking at 70% chance rain. Just your weather broadcaster here.
How fun.
I love that.
Gary Lezak, eat your heart out.
So what are you guys' thoughts about? What are your thoughts about the last time we played the Jags? And then we can get into what do we want to see differently going into this week.
So I was actually at the Jags game with Jody last. Oh, the last right. time we played.
I was in Texas.
And you were in Texas. Yeah. And, you know, like the one thing that stands out from that game is just how physical the Jags defense played against our receivers. I know that maybe there's a little bit of hard feelings against Cisco for the headhunting that he did against Juju and MBS. Would like to not see that again. Let's please protect the heads and the necks, especially after everything we've seen recently.
Absolutely.
But, you know, honestly, like, Chiefs fans have been where the Jags fans are now. Like, we all remember we went 2-14, Andy Reid came in, and then suddenly we're like, good. And we were just like, man, this is great. We have a winning record. Like, look at us go. And I've been communicating with a lot of Jags fans the last couple of days. And, you know, for the fans anyway, this is all gravy. They're just happy to be here because it's been a nightmare for them the last few year. How many years now? So this thing is
2017.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, like, the pressure really is all on the Chiefs right now. There's not a lot of pressure on the Jags. Like, hey, you made it to the playoffs. You're in the divisional round. Like, awesome job. Everyone's going to be happy with how the season ends for the Jags, no matter if it ends this week or even if it ended last week, which it didn't. But for the Chiefs, it's really Super Bowl or bust. They have all the pressure because of the consistency they've had over the past 5 years. And I know those Chiefs players, they want to get to that AFC championship and they want to host another Lombardi. So really it's a lot about controlling the emotions of this game. And the Jags just had a very emotional game. I do believe emotional fatigue is a thing. I think the Chiefs suffered from that in the second half of the Cincinnati game last year after our big Bills Chiefs divisional round game last year. So it's, to me, it's really controlling the emotions and making sure that we are firing on all cylinders of the game, special teams, offense, defense. And the last big thing I want to point out is in the second half, I feel like our offensive adjustments have not been great coming out of the gate. I feel like we're coming out too many second halves and we're stalling for the third quarter. And I really think that if we want to make sure we're pushing through and not allowing teams to come back into the game, we have to capitalize in the third quarter when we've normally been doing well the first and second quarter. That third quarter, we've got to stop stalling because it's been happening more consistently than I would like to see. So
third quarters have been really weird for us. I agree. Yeah.
And they used to be so dominant. So it's weird.
You're completely right on that. I do think, like you said, like with the Chiefs, as long as we have Mahomes and especially like with Andy Reid and Travis, like they're going to expect Super Bowls and that's what they expect. And I feel like even the guys joining our team, like the Carlos Dunlaps and the Justin Reeds and those guys, like they're all expecting to come in here and have a chance at a Super Bowl. So I hope they go in with that mindset, like knowing they finally have that chance. And really just playing their hearts out because that's what's different. And I feel like it's the same with the Bengals and the Bills too. And I feel like all three franchises are really expecting a Super Bowl this season and it really could go either three way. Now, if the Jaguars get it, that would be...
Kudos to them, man.
That would be such a crazy upset. But I mean, and that's what's, I think could be like a trap about this game is like, the Jaguars aren't expecting that. And they expected to have a better season for sure. And obviously they clearly have. And Trevor Lawrence is not new to these kind of big situations. I mean, he's been in plenty of these. He's won tons and tons and tons of games. He's never lost on a Saturday, all that stuff. Now, I want to say neither has Mahomes, at least in the NFL. I don't know about his high school and college record. But
you know what? High school and college do not count in the NFL.
They don't.
It's a totally different ballgame, man.
I mean, you got to remember, the first time Trevor Lawrence came to Kansas City was on a Sunday at noon. I remember just being at that game, Chrissy, and being like, God, it's so early. I feel like the stadium was like great, but
like we're not used to those noon games anymore.
We hadn't had a noon game,
not the normal, it was like not regular Arrowhead. No. I was like, okay, this is cute.
And I think so. I actually watched Trevor Lawrence's press conference today, and he was even saying, we played there earlier this season. He's like, but I know it can get even crazier. But then he said, he's like, I can't imagine it getting any crazier than it was in Jacksonville. And I was like, oh boy.
It's different when it's your team cheering for you versus.
I know. And that's what he said too. He's like, that was though for the, you know, it gets loud for the defense versus the offense, all that.
Correct.
Kind of stuff, I don't put it past anyone not being ready for our crowd. These guys, when you're at this level, they're all ready for this kind of stuff. Like, I don't think it's too big of a moment for him. But I do think, I mean, with our last game against them, we still won by 10 points. There was a lot of things we could have done better, but we were also without a lot of people. I'm still bummed that it sounds like we're going to be without McColl again, which all of us wanted him in our offense with Tony. And like, we're all so excited about that. And I really wish him well. And I hope he gets better.
We were without Juju and Tony for most of that game. So we were basically running on Sky Moore, really early, right?
Then that was like it.
Yeah. Sky Moore, McKinnon. And
he only played in the first quarter.
We didn't have CEH either. So, I mean, he's been designated to return. So it's like, you look at who our receivers were for that, starting that game for that chunk of time. And it's like, who is Mahomes throwing to, you know, like Justin Watson was wide receiver
Travis Gray. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who he was throwing to that game. And that's what I was going to get into. So the last time we played them, which I'll just cover, we were missing a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that was KT's first touchdown as a Chief.
Yeah, it was. That's great.
That's when he was hopping down the sideline.
Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
And if y'all remember, the Jags started with the onside kick.
Yeah, that was insane. I remember standing in the stands, and I was just like, gotta give it to them, man. Like, they're pulling out all the stops.
Gutsy. And Justin Reed spoke about that today in his presser, right?
Yeah, he did.
Like, you know, it's important for the defense.
Sorry, and special teams.
Just got a tailgating text message. Sorry. But it was important for the special teams just to be as ready as the defense, because it's Dougie P. He comes from the Andy Reid tree. So who knows what stops he's going to pull out or tricks to try to, you know, get that extra possession against us. But what feels great is knowing that they're thinking the same thing we are, right? So they're in that locker room having those same conversations on what do we need to do to make sure that we're ready for all the stops, no matter what they decide to pull out of their bag. But I think it's important to talk about how good the defense was too. Willie Gay was fantastic that game. I don't know if y'all remember, but he was really, really good that game. And even though Patrick had three interceptions, He had one interception.
I was like, he had three?
Even though he had one interception, he still threw for four touchdowns. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things that we could do to be better this week to clean up from what we did week 10. But I think that we've seen the progression that this team has made over the last 8 weeks since then. And how our defense has really kicked it into a high gear. The offense is really clicking now on all cylinders. We don't know necessarily. I mean, we have everybody back except Nicole, which sucks, like you said, Lexi. But we got everybody back, so that opens up the playbook a whole lot more, which is amazing. So yeah. Oh, and the defense had 5 sacks. What?
Yeah. And that was before they were really, I mean, they're like peaking right now at the perfect moment. Like George Karlaftis getting sacks every game. Chris Jones is going crazy. Dunlap's batting balls down left and right. Yeah. Frank Clark's having, hopefully his groin is still doing better. But like our D line is just playing phenomenal right now. And that takes so much pressure off our secondary. And I think our secondary is also figuring a lot of things out too.
Oh yeah.
So I mean,
Snead and McDuffie and Justin Reed, they're like figuring it out. They look good there in that secondary. And you know, it's hard for me to say nice things about Justin Reed, but he has been really good these last 2-3 games.
I wasn't going to call you out just then, but I'm
I said something nice.
Oh, look at that.
2 weeks in a row, Jody.
And then Juan Thornhill, too. He's been kind of a ball hawk lately.
He has. I know Justin Reed has said, like, a lot of times with interceptions and things like that, they start to come in bunches. You get one and you start craving more, and then they just keep coming because you're feeling it. And you can really tell, like, they're really starting to fly around and make those plays out there. So I love that we're just so excited about our defense, because I don't know how many times in the past, I feel like this has been the most positive throughout an entire season we've been about our defense. I'm not saying they haven't had bad games, but the amount of growth we've seen with how young our defense is this year and how many new faces are on our defense this year, it's just awesome. Like, this was a rebuilding year, you guys, for everybody, offense and defense. And we were 14-3 with a first round bye. Yeah. I'm just proud.
It feels like after the bye week, they just like it clicked. Like whatever happened during that bye week, every week after that, it was just like, oh yeah, hi guys, this is what we're here to do. So I'm hoping they still have that same energy since another bye week. Like we've seen the great things that came from the last one, so hopefully they come.
We had so many games without McDuffie, and then we had 2 games without Frank, and then a few games without Willie, and it was just like there was never like our full defense was there. We had a few injuries here and there, and like now it's like they're all, our whole defense is ready. Like our whole defense, as long as Frank Clark, God, please, but as long as he's good, our whole defense is healthy and ready to play. So, and you know, Frank Clark turns it up in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will say, like, even though our offense is going to be missing Mecole, I mean, I didn't realize this today until someone said it, but he's been gone since for
10 weeks.
Well, I was just looking at Pacheco's.
Before Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at Pacheco's stats, and the Jacksonville game was the first game that he really took over. I mean, he ran for 16 carries for 82 yards, 5.1 yards per carry. That was the game he really took over, because before that, the most snaps he got in a game was 5 rushing attempts. And then he jumped to 16 that game against Jacksonville. So that was when we really started kind of shifting that running game. And McKinnon was not doing what McKinnon is doing now during that time either. So
that's a good question, Chrissy. So CEH is,
I was just going to say,
that was a great transition. Did you guys like that?
I love that pivot. Thank you so much. CEH is activated. So what does that do for Pacheco and McKinnon snaps?
I don't think it should change them at all.
If it's not broken, don't fix it, right?
The only thing I can see is maybe giving CEH maybe some red zone targets. He was doing great with red zone. He was fantastic. But honest to God, let Pacheco be the number one. Let McKinnon take some, doing like the screenplays and the pass protection, doing everything McKinnon's been doing fantastically. Don't change a thing with that. And if we need to put CEH and Rojo in there, or one or the other, I guess probably now in there to, you know, give those two a break, sure. But don't take snaps away from McKinnon and Pacheco. They've been working too hard. They've been too successful. Don't mess it up.
And Rojo's been good.
He has been good. That's why I don't even think we need to activate him. Like, I feel like he could have sat on the practice squad. Sorry, CEH. Like, there's nothing against you. I'm just saying, like, I think he probably could have sat on the practice squad and let Rojo come in as that third back, because it's been working just fine.
But, I mean, I will say we did have this bye week, right? So we did have these extra days to get CEH kind of, you know, back in rhythm. Now, granted, he's not in, like, game shape rhythm, right? But you know, maybe just enough to maybe tweak him to get that energy back flowing, that fire back in his belly. But I mean, I agree. I think you got to leave Pop and McKinnon where they're at.
Pop and Jet.
Yeah, Pop and Jet.
Pop and Jet.
But you got to leave them where they're at, and then you just you. I don't know. And I don't want to speak to future games because, you know, it's one week at a time. But, you know, do you save maybe some of that play calling for a game that might be more intense than this one? Not saying this game is a game that we're going to not take seriously because Trevor Lawrence was amazing last week. But, you know, I don't know.
I think even if CEH, like, I don't think we're going to see him much this game. I don't think so at all. And like you said, we have such a good flow with what our running backs are doing right now that, but I do think he could be a good little like trickery in the red zone type thing.
Because absolutely.
Right now I think defenses are going to be kind of onto McKinnon because they're seeing he's breaking these records, right? Like what was his record last week? Like the most touchdowns for a most receiving
touchdowns by a running back. Yeah.
Ever
for the Chiefs anyway,
or at least for us, I think ever something crazy. Anyway, I think teams are going to be onto that, and defenses are going to be onto that, and so I do think Clyde could be a good little distraction in the end zone, whether he's getting the ball or whether he's a distraction. I feel like he could be a good little trickery kind of play. I know a lot of people have their qualms with CEH, but I actually thought he had some decent moments this season.
He did.
He had some really great plays against the Chargers in that week 2 game. He had some really great plays against the Bucks. He's had his moments, I think, even against the 49ers. So, and then I think went out after that or pretty something like that. But I don't think I'm not as worried about him as some people are, because I think we just, for some reason, I think it's the first round pick thing. I think a lot of people just have a weird taste in their mouth about him. And we're seeing what we have with Pacheco and McKinnon. And so rightfully so, like, we love them. We don't want their snaps to get taken down. But I think like him and Rojo, if we have both of them, like, that could be a good little rotation. Clyde's some good insurance in case, God forbid, knock on wood, anyone gets injured.
Why even say it?
But yeah, I mean, it's getting correct, right? Like, at least he can come back and be there if we need him. So
what do you guys think about these receivers, right? So, you know, we'll have KT, who will be what we presume is 100%, right?
Yeah, he's been looking great. 100%.
He's like 97%.
Jody's 100%, right? So, I mean, and when I say receivers, I'm also including this amazing tight end room.
Yes.
Like, who leads this game? Like, who is going to be the leader of this game with all of our receivers who are here, who are all playing at a very high level?
I want to see Juju more involved. I feel like he's been doing a lot of non-receiving work, if that makes sense. I feel like he's been doing a ton of blocking and a lot of
being like the defensive player.
Yeah. I love that about him. And I love that he's so good at that stuff. But I want to see him get more involved. I really want to see him just shine again. Because he's such a great target out there, and he catches everything. And so, hashtag Juju catches everything. I really want to see more of him. And like, obviously I love the dimension that Tony brings to the table. I think, you know, he wasn't even somebody that was supposed to do anything for us this year. And then he's just like, this is all bonus what he's doing this year. And I love seeing him out there, and I want to see MBS make some good connections with
catching on the first time, maybe.
Yeah, like down the field, because he's always so close. Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, we'll miss one, and then we'll miss one. And I know that was a problem he had in Green Bay, but like, gosh darn it, get it together, please.
Yeah, give me some yellow gloves, maybe.
I think it's funny that people still want to like discount our offense after Patrick literally has broken records this season, like of his own, of other people. I mean, I don't get how, I mean, I know our wide receiver core isn't like the most flashy, right? But I feel like they've made everything work really well. And that goes into our tight ends, our wide receivers, and our running backs. And that's with McKinnon, that's with Kelce, that's with Noah Gray, that's with all of them. But I do feel like our offense has been very interesting the past few weeks. Like, there's always like one person on it that's doing really well, and then the others are kind of like here and there, right? Like, it's not.
It's always one star of the game every week, and it's not the person. It's always somebody different.
Mm-hmm. And like, I think we could see a lot more Blake Bell in there, a lot more Noah Gray. I think Noah. Because I feel like Kelce had a great game against the Jags. So, like, I feel like we could be taking some of that pressure off of Kelce with our other tight ends. I don't know if Jody Fortson's going to play or not. Like, I know he's coming back off of IR, I think. But but I don't know. We've got such a great tight end room. Like, and they're all like little mini Kelce's now. Like, they're all, they've all learned so much from him. So I love our tight end room. They're just fantastic.
Yeah, and Blake Bell has been good when he
absolutely he's back this week, right? So
he was back last week. He scored a touchdown 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
on his debut back.
Oh yeah, he was activated
against the Broncos, right? He had a touchdown, I think. So
Seattle, right?
But I will say, like, what
it's been too long.
We all remember.
But I will say, like, that game against the Raiders, I rewatched like the highlights again today, and it just made me feel so good about our offense. Like, everything was just clicking on everything we needed it to against the Raiders. And that was such a great game to end our regular season that I feel so good going into this offseason.
Yeah. There's no better way to end the regular season in the way that we did. So with that being said, we are so proud of you. This Chiefs team. I was trying to
Yes, we are.
All of you.
Call them. Are they Chiefs Kingdom?
They're a part of Chiefs Kingdom.
They're the Kingdom. They're the Chiefs.
Like, we're Chiefs Kingdom. I'm like, are they Chiefs Kingdom? I don't know. Regardless, super proud of this team. I could not be more proud of this team. Just like Chrissy said, this is a rebuild season, and we were not expecting this. Again, I said 12-5, so to be at 14-3 is like a blessing. So proud of this team. So happy. Do y'all have anything else to say about this game, or do y'all want to get into these matchups for this?
Well, just real quick, I just want to add, like, even like with that, saying it was supposed to be like somewhat of a quote unquote rebuild season, like going into even next season, I'm like almost even more excited because now we're seeing what these rookies on defense are doing. Like, Brett Veach, hats off to you, because my goodness, I mean, like, I'm just so excited. I'm so thrilled with the people we have on our team. All these rookies, they're going to be with us at least for another few years. We know we're going to have Mahomes, Kelce, hopefully Juju. I'd love to see Nicole back with us, especially just because of how the season has gone for him. And then Tony, potential of like Justin Ross. Justin, who's the other Justin?
I forgot all about Justin Ross. Let's be real.
There's another Justin we just signed to, or another Ross.
John Ross.
Yeah.
So he just the potential of like what we have coming too. I'm just like, I don't know how it's real life. Don't pinch me, but it's great. So
I feel like McColl is going to come back, but we could talk about that another day.
Yeah.
I would love to have McColl back.
I feel like he just might. Yeah. Let's talk about that another day. So let's get into these matchups this weekend. Can you believe that? Like, I had to erase top five picks for the weekend because we're down to only four games.
I know. I was writing my notes and I was like, that's it?
Yeah, I was like, I have to be looking at something wrong. No, there's literally only four games. Someone called us the Elite Eight earlier and I laughed because college basketball, but you know, I laughed. But yeah, so we're technically the first game. We'll get into us again later with score predictions because we just talked about us, but the second game for Saturday. Oh, but I will say we do play on NBC. Praise the Lord. So happy. I just don't want to be on CBS anyway. But the second Saturday game, Giants Eagles 7:15 on Fox. Who are y'all picking?
I think, okay, so I'm going with the Eagles. I'll preface that. But I think this is going to be a really good game. Like, I think Eagles have just like, they're kind of like the Jags for me. Like, they've had it rough and they've just come this season and they've kind of just tried to prove people wrong all season long.
You mean the Giants or the Eagles?
The Giants.
The Giants. Yeah.
I'm going with the Eagles. But I'm talking about, did I say the Eagles? I'm sorry.
Maybe.
I've been sick, you guys.
That's fine. It's fine.
Struggling. But yeah, I just love the Giants this year. Like I really do. I don't think that they're the better team by any means, but I think that they kind of love being that little Cinderella story in the making. And do I think it's going to happen? Probably not, but it would not shock me if somehow they found the will and the way to upset the Eagles. I am going with the Eagles, but I love the Giants. So I don't know.
I feel the same way, and I want to give you guys both props. I think you both picked the Giants over Minnesota last week,
right? We did. Hey.
Good job. Good job. You guys were right. Props there.
I also picked the Jags, but, you know.
And
I did too.
We did too. Hey.
Mm-hmm. I was five. We also picked the Jags.
I was 5-6 this past weekend. I can't remember.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Same.
Well, I was 4-6 because I also picked the Vikings. Anyway, nonetheless, I think I'm with you, Chrissy. I love what the Giants have going this season. I feel like they could be that kind of like Cincinnati Bengals Cinderella story from last year. Like they kind of have that same vibe kind of going. I really like Dable for them. I think he's just completely, he's made them disciplined. He's completely flipped the vibe there.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones too, like, holy crap. He looked like one of the best quarterbacks all weekend. Like that clean game he played. That was just fun to watch.
I actually think he was my best quarterback of last weekend. Like I said that last night, I thought about it and I think he was the most impressive out of everybody.
He was really good.
Dak was really good. Yeah. But I was most impressed with,
I agree. He played flawless football, not to mention like his running and his Vanilla Vic, they call him, whatever. So
I'm going to him to Danny Dollar now.
Danny Dollar.
Danny Dollar now.
But I think the Eagles are going to win. And I kind of want them to win because I'm still holding out for a Kelce Super Bowl. So
I know, me too.
I have to go with them, but I think it's going to be a really good game. A division game is always insane.
Many division games.
I'm going Eagles, but
so many, yeah.
Definitely could be an upset.
So I'm going Eagles as well, but I would not be surprised if the Giants did win. I do want to call out really, really quickly. There are 3 NFC East teams in the playoffs.
Still in. That's crazy. No one saw that coming.
Remember when they thought that was going to be the AFC West many months ago?
Oh, yeah.
Russell Wilson and Derek Carr and Justin Herbert were supposed to be good. They all stink. Anyway, I'm also going Eagles as well. And I actually debated back and forth on this one for a while because Saquon is just really good.
He's so fun to watch.
Really good. Really good.
And he does not miss leg day.
Those two plus Danny Dollar, they are balling right now. They are clicking. They are rolling on like all high cylinders. Like if it was a home game for the Giants, I think they would win. So, that's my thought on that. So now we go to Sunday, the game we're most interested for. Bengals at Bills, 3 p.m. CBS.
This game is really difficult, and I'm sure you guys, like, I don't know. Here's my two big things, and we brought up one of them earlier. Buffalo, their two big problems are turnovers right now. And they have 3 problems. I'm giving 3 turnovers. They cannot stop the run, and their offense has been stalling in the second half.
And penalties.
Penalties too. Okay.
4.
But they have Sheffers, so I'm not including penalties. Okay. Okay. Now Cincinnati's 3 big problems or 2 big problems. They cannot stop the run.
Yeah.
And their offense is stalling in the second half. Correct. So I'm giving Cincinnati the edge only because Buffalo has been turning the ball over at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be reminiscent, I feel like, of our divisional game last year, but I'm giving Cincinnati the edge simply because of the turnover issue.
So. I actually hope it goes to overtime for the sake that they changed the rule.
That would be hilarious.
Like I would love that. That would be awesome. I think I'm going Bills. There's a lot that goes into my reasoning for that.
You don't have to say.
I was going to say some I might not speak on, but
you need to DM us later, right? Because now I'm curious.
We'll talk about that after the pod.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I genuinely do hope it goes to overtime. I think it has the potential to be like a really fast-paced, fun, high-scoring game. And like you said, their weakness is kind of similar. They're not, both teams aren't great at stopping the run. Both teams have stalled in the second half. And I don't know. I mean, if Josh Allen can figure out how to not turn the dang ball over, I mean, we've seen him be very good. So I do think I think the offense on the Bengals overall is better. Like, their receiver core is better. I think their tight ends are pretty evenly matched for me. And yeah, but I'm going to go Bills. I don't really know for sure. I think it's going to be a great game. It's pretty evenly matched.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Bengals, and that's solely based off of, they are hot, the Bills are not. The Bengals are rolling, the Bills are not. And if you remember the first quarter or the first 6 minutes of this last game, they were about to go up 14-3 on the Bills. Like, Joe Burrow came out hot. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but when you watched this Bills game last week, what's the man's name?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Josh Allen's very first play, that very first play call was identical to the Bengals' first play call against them in Buffalo. Like, it was literally the same thing. They came out the gate, they went down the field, got a first down. That is what Joe Burrow did to them. They set the tone immediately. They set the tone early. And the Bills play copycat on that. And I actually yelled at my TV like, what are you doing? This isn't who you are. So, so I think the Bills are ready. The Bengals are ready to have this game. They're ready to go back to New York. Well, I guess it's not a home game for them, huh? But, no, they're ready to go back. They're ready to go to Buffalo. I think they're going to go in there. I think they're going to dominate. They're not scared of the weather. I think that they're just going to overpower them. I think the Bengals are more physical than the Bills. That's all my reasoning. Like, are the Bills supposed to win? Yeah, oh, they're supposed to win, all right. But I think the Bengals are going to pull it out and win.
I can't believe the spread on that game.
What is it now? At 2.5?
-5.
It's
Buffalo -5.
-5.
The Bills?
Yeah.
They're in the Bills.
Oh, but that's because the Bengals have lost some players.
The O-line.
Because it was 2.5 last night.
But I will say, like, I don't think any of us expect either of those teams' games to be that close this past weekend. Like, neither the Bills nor the Bengals looked dominant. Like, those games could have easily been won if the Tua and Lamar were in.
Oh.
So.
I knew they were division games, but still, like, you still need to look good against the division teams. And I felt like, honestly, a majority of those games, sometimes the other team looked better. Ravens
especially
and Miami.
The Dolphins looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. This should be a very interesting game. I'm so intrigued by it. It could definitely go either way. So.
I might watch it on mute because I don't feel like hearing Tony Romo talk about how much he loves.
Oh, my God. He's the alien. Watch the alien watch. Oh, Mr. he's the January. Champ. Oh, Mr. blah, blah, blah.
Mr. January. Yeah, he is.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, I like Tony Romo, but, God, get off his.
Oh, I don't.
Get off his.
That's another story. and the last Sunday game, which actually I am so excited for as well. I know it is an NFC team, but this just reminds me of old school NFL football.
Classic.
Punch in the mouth. Dallas at Niners. Bang, bang, Niner game. 5:30 p.m. on Fox. So, yeah, Dak was lights out yesterday. They are playing on a short week. The Niners are not. They are traveling to the West Coast.
Niners really got that advantage there. Niners played at the early Saturday game, and Dallas played the late Monday game.
Oh,
so. I still don't understand why there was a Monday game.
They said that. So apparently, I think before that game yesterday, Brett Maher, who is usually lights out when it comes to kicking field goals, they said he went like 12 for like 14 before the game started. So he was making all of his field goals, and then all of a sudden was like, I don't want to be a kicker anymore. So I don't know what happened there, but yeah, that was really strange. But I'm going to say what Chrissy said earlier, right? Are they having emotional fatigue from this last game because it was so stressful? Cowboys had a ton of weight on them going into this game. I'm sure Jerry Jones had it, which he did say. He told Dak before the game started, don't think about it. Go out there and just be yourself. So, yeah. I mean, isn't that what you want to hear from your owner right before you hit the field? Going against Tom Brady?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, right?
This game was hard because the thing is, if Dallas plays like they did yesterday, they looked unbeatable.
Yeah.
And I feel like San Francisco, like I know they've got a fantastic defense, but that first half of their game against who did San Francisco play? It was so long ago.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle looked like the better team the first half. I was like, hey, I picked Seattle. I'm feeling really good about this pick. And then they just did not play the second half. But I was like, never mind. But I don't know. I've got Dallas circled as winning this game because I don't know, man, their offense and then their defense was just pounding the Tampa Bucks. So I don't know. I've got Dallas winning this one.
You know, I actually said that last night, too. I went in our friend's space, Sports After Dark, but I said I kind of think they might get that upset. I feel like San Francisco has been very good. They've been very dominant. They've been on – their whole team is pretty much Super Bowl caliber, right? Like, their quarterback has been phenomenal. He's been a kind of a plug-and-play, but he's done really well for them, Brock Purdy. But if the Cowboys played like they did yesterday, I don't see them losing. However, I also don't know if I see San Francisco losing. Like, these games are going to be so good.
Yeah.
Like, all four of these games are going to be so good.
Yeah.
We are blessed with that, I will say. We are blessed with some great games.
Great football, finally.
Great football. But I kind of feel like this could be the Cowboys' time. Maybe I'll jinx it by saying that, but this could actually be their time. So, and I'd love to see the Cowboys and Eagles in the divisional game. Like, how fun would that be?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That'd be awesome. But
the game that everybody's been waiting for because Jalen Hurts was hurt.
Yes.
It didn't get to win. So, and I'm going Niners.
Okay, good.
I'm going Niners because I don't think the Cowboys can do it 2 weeks in a row on a show.
They're very inconsistent.
Very inconsistent. And I don't take away my Dak slander because I still don't think he knows how to play under pressure. Yesterday, he never had to play from behind. He was just guns blazing from jump, right? So, but Dak was really good. So I'm not taking anything away from his performance yesterday. And I actually tweeted a lot about it during the game about how good he was, how good that offense was, all of those great things about him because, you know, you're going to give respect when it's due. But I think the Niners are better all around. I don't know if Michael Parsons is fully okay. Like, he was limping off the field there at the end of the game. I'm sure
I thought that was halftime. Did he also – was he struggling? It was halftime.
Yeah, could be. But the Niners are physical. Like, the Niners are not the Bucks. They are not the Bucks at all. Hello. The Niners are not the Bucks at all. So there's no way that, you know, Dak's going to be able to run like that. There's no way that he's not going to get an interception. Like, regardless, I'm going with the Bucks. I'm not going to go on my Cowboys tangent. let's get into these score predictions. Cowboys, Jags for the second time this year. But this time it's a playoff game in Arrowhead.
You said Cowboys, Jags, being Chiefs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Chiefs, right? It's because I was like, had slander in my mind and I was full of slander.
Jody lives in Dallas, so she's still.
I live in Dallas.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's okay.
I love them though. Well, man.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Jags for the second time this year in Arrowhead on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Stadium's gonna be rocking. It's a sold out crowd already. It is going to be playoff football for the first time. Our boys hit the field and our rookies. I can't wait to see how our rookies do.
I know.
Who wins? What's your score? What's our spread?
I think we're like minus.
I'm gonna look. Where's your score prediction, Chrissy?
The score jumping in my head is 31-21, but I'm not confident in that. But I'm going 31-21. Huh?
Why aren't you confident?
I don't know. Like I feel like I feel like my head wants me to, or my heart wants me to be overconfident, and my head's like, "Whoa!"
Oh, you're being, yeah. Go with your heart, not your head.
With my head. So my head's saying 31-21. I won't tell you what my heart is saying.
We're the favorite by 8.5 points now.
And the over is 51.5. I do think it'll be more of a high scoring game because I think some of our offenses are going to roll a bit. Obviously I have the Jaguars. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously I have the Chiefs. Give me, what am I feeling? 33-27. 33-27. That's
take
fun.
That.
30. I think it's gonna be like within a score.
Huh, okay. I have the Chiefs winning 34-21.
Okay, so that was, my head was saying, my heart was saying 35-21, but I didn't want to be that person. So
and I actually went back and forth. I originally said like 37-24. And I was like, 34-21. Because I do think the Jags are going to put points on the board, but I think our defense is a lot more solid right now than it was week 10. So I think our defense is going to ball out. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be on the ground. I think there's going to be a few fumbles. And I'm not even being cocky. This is just what I actually think is going to happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think their defense is good enough. I think Patrick might be on the ground, too. So
let's hope
not. He goes both ways. I know I shouldn't say that. I don't want my quarterback on the ground. But, yeah, 34-21.
Maybe like once or twice. But, man.
Yeah.
Just to keep him honest.
Yeah, you got to keep him honest. So 34-21 is what I think.
And I know, I just know MVS wants his revenge on Cisco. He was like the most outspoken about that.
He really was.
You said the points were 41.5?
51.5.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm right on track then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. We're all pretty on track with that. So
I'm on track with that because I do think it'll be high scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I honestly think it might come within 10. Even though, remember, they did have that garbage time touchdown last time.
See, that's what I'm worried about. It might be like the garbage time thing, but all we can do is hope that we see this bye week Andy Reid. He is also, I think we saw that stat today, he's like 4-0 versus people that came from his tree in the playoffs. So we're just going to go on with good vibes. Jody's going to be there and cheer loud and proud for us.
Oh, yeah.
We're hoping for a little bit of a snow game because that's going to throw these Florida boys off.
And I'd rather snow than rain.
But I would rather neither. Just sunshine
or neither. But
sunshine and daisies.
And I no wind. Sick.
This should be a great game. Our teams are going to give us, I mean, it's a good matchup. I actually like this matchup. So.
I do too. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool. That's all I have. Chrissy, Lexi, I don't have anything else on my outline.
I don't think so. I think that's it. So,
well,
next will be fun.
Go playoffs. I can't wait for Chiefs playoff football. It's the best time of year.
Yeah, I will give you guys one last stat as I close us out. Among the 8 starting quarterbacks left in the playoffs, Mahomes is the only one who has won a Super Bowl and he is the only one who has been to multiple Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So somehow our quarterback is the most experienced, and I think he has the most playoff games by four as well. Yeah. So
correct.
Yeah. So he has eight, and I think the next closest is four. Yeah. So this is just crazy with it that our quarterback, he's what, 27 years old, and he has the most playoff experience out of everyone in this, in the playoffs this year. So that's just crazy. I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. But as always, guys, it has been a very quick season. We're already in the divisional round of the playoffs. We appreciate all the support you've shown our show each and every week. Please follow us on Twitter at Kingdoms Queens so you can find every place that you can watch us. Our shows always go live at 7 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays, and then they are always on Apple and Spotify or anywhere else you can catch your podcasts the next day. So as Patrick Mahomes said, the Jags have been in playoff mode for the last month or so. So everything about this game is just matching that energy and exceeding it. So you know what? Chiefs Kingdom, bring the energy, bring that playoff energy, and show the Jags that what they experienced last time at Arrowhead is nothing compared to what they are going to hear and feel this week. So until next time, guys, the Queens have spoken.
Bye, guys.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.